Like a chrysalis, we're emerging from the economy of the Industrial Revolution. An economy confined to and limited by the Earth's physical resources into the economy in mind, in which there are no bounds on human imagination, and the freedom to create is the most precious natural resource.
Welcome to the Soul of Enterprise, Business and the Knowledge Economy, sponsored by Sage, transforming the way people think and work, enabling their organizations to thrive. I'm Ron Baker, along with my good friend and Bear Sage Institute colleague Ed Kless. On today's show, folks, we're talking about the subscription economy update for 2024. Hey, Ed, how's it going?
Good. About approximately 32 hours until the beard goes away.
Yeah, I bet you're counting it down.
I am counting it down. What, the fact that I gave you 32 hours is a good indication, I'm thinking.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. This is an interesting topic. Teen Zo kind of reignited his weekly newsletter back on March 9th.
Yes, but I just want to point out that we scheduled to do this show before he reignited the newsletter. So
that's
this was
true.
So we were planning to do this, but so it was very serendipitous that he re-upped.
That's true. So,
but yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, he came out of the gate and he says it's not looking too good for subscriptions right now. News sites are dropping their paywalls. Streaming services are turning to ads, which is abominable. And there's even noise of SaaS companies abandoning the model. And I think he's talking about Jason Fried, right? The 37 Signals that we talked about. And, you know, he says, what's going on? He said, let's fast forward to 2024 and let me just officially declare what we all know. We are through the shift. We're on the other side. It's become our new normal. He's talking about the subscription economy. He said, but a year ago, a new phrase entered our lexicon. I think it's farther back than that, but whatever. And of course, it's subscriber fatigue. Some businesses have more SaaS applications than employees.
That's a great line.
And I think it's very true too, especially if you're a smaller business, right?
Yeah, of course.
Profits are down. Churn is on the rise. So does this mean the subscription economy is over? And he answers, of course not. It's simply entering a new phase. And he says, you know, it's time to put the cape back on and, you know, dive into this.
maybe subscriptions are down at Zora. I'm just going out on a limb.
Well, you know, I meant to go look at their stock price. Maybe you can do that while I'm chatting.
Okay.
But last time I looked at it, it was doing okay. Anyway, he says one thing that is going on that a lot of these companies are doing in response to profits being down and churn is on the rise, he says, is they're absolutely doing the wrong approach. They're reacting by raising prices. Mm-hmm. And he thinks that's the wrong approach. So then he introduces this thing, Ed, that he is calling monetization, or the monetization theory, which is how a business matches what it values with what its customers value. Mm-hmm. So,
which AKA a new business model, like
a new business model. I know exactly what exactly what I thought, but it's a little bit more nuanced than that, because then he goes on to talk about the New York Times. Now the New York Times,
they're doing great.
They're great. Yeah. Excellent example. I mean, they were the poster boy in much of his prior newsletters, but they're bundling and unbundling right now. They're driving subscription revenue past $1 billion as of 2023, and they're doing it by pairing their core new offerings, you know, products like games, the crossword, Wordle, Wirecutter, product recommendations, cooking, The Athletic, sports news. They're letting, I guess, people bundle and unbundle as they see fit. I want this, you know, or I don't want this.
Yeah. Curiously, Ron, that is something that Zora, the program, does really well. It allows for, you know, rebound. I mean, I'm being overly cynical here. I he's clearly an evangelist for this model, but right. go on.
Yeah, no, unbundling and bundling has been around for a long time. I mean, you know, that's a business model. You can bundle, you can unbundle. We're seeing that with the airlines, right?
Yep.
He did say that it has attracted another 300,000 additional digital subscribers. Their subscriber base is now 10.36 million. 9.7 are digital only. Mm-hmm. That's pretty impressive.
It is. And by the way, and right next to this paragraph, I wrote AKA plussing.
Plussing. I know. There are some definite things that are absent here. But in Teen's defense, I guess he is, especially when you read the following week's newsletter. Actually, it's 2 weeks from March 23rd, which was his next one. He's talking about all different types of product and services businesses. He's not certainly not talking about professional firms.
No.
You know, like we do. So some of the stuff that he's saying, I can understand. But then he starts to go into this monetization idea, and he lays out some strategies they have in common. And I don't know if you want to go through these, but there's three of them. And sure. They show an understanding that monetization is bigger than any singular pricing model. It encompasses an end-to-end strategy. You know, subscription was always started with the customer, right? Customer was at the center in his little diagram. So there's nothing new here. And he's right. It is bigger than any singular pricing model. I mean, the pricing model is devised by the strategy. So I totally get the end-to-end strategy. Then he said these strategies are all living and have the ability to evolve over time. And they need to be future-proof. You know, there's a certain element of bingo card business terminology here. Yep. And lastly, they address root questions. Why did they buy? How did they get value? And of course, why did they churn? And we call this strategy total monetization, where both customer-centric and future-proof, including bundling and unbundling, subscriptions, offering consumption-based pricing alongside subscription models, one-off top-ups, freemium products, and per-use credit systems. And he says in the coming weeks, we'll dive deeper into this strategy. But just from that, and that's a very brief skimming of what he's talking about, but what struck you about that?
Meh, it's a business model.
Yeah, it's an evolving business model.
Yeah. And yes, he clearly says I agree with this. We've talked about this on a number of shows. Strategy precedes pricing. Absolutely no question. I think that he is trying to bring in all things to all people, and maybe this is what he's going to flesh out in the coming weeks when he talks about this stuff. I don't think that you want to have all of these models under one roof, because now we're getting into McDonald's and Morton's again.
I know that's what worried me too. Are we losing our strategic focus here? Forget about the pricing and the way to expand the demand curve or whatever, like he talks about in the next issue. But
And I get it. I mean, so for example, you know, I think this is probably true. And Amazon has done this to a certain degree, because you have the Amazon Prime, right? And Amazon Prime, some of the shows are free. They're included in your subscription. But then there are some movies, all right, you got to pay extra for. And that's what differentiates it from, say, a Netflix. And Netflix is, okay, this is all anything that's on our platform, you have access to. What comes on to our platform will change, and goes off of our platform will change and vary from month to month, let's say. But if it's on our platform, you have access to it. Whereas Amazon is, yes, you have access to our Prime content and certain movies are included, but you still have to pay for a movie if you want to see it that's not included in Prime.
Right.
So, and look, a lot of the services don't operate that way. So right. Netflix doesn't operate that way. Apple doesn't operate that way. And I think that's one of the things he's saying is, hey, you know, I've floated into, and I want to see the first episode of Ted Lasso. And then I'm like, but I only want to watch Ted Lasso. I don't want to have to subscribe to Apple. Can you just for $10 sell me a subscription to Ted Lasso, just that show?
Right.
You know, and yes, the technology exists to do this, but, and this is the bundling unbundling argument. Is that what you want? I mean, as a consumer, yeah, I could say that that's kind of great, I suppose. I don't know. I have very conflicted thoughts on this. But the one thing that I did note, and this is a conversation that we sort of started to have with Aaron Harris when he was on a couple of weeks ago, is not, and maybe this is just software, not based on consumption so much as prioritization. Can we prioritize your stuff? Can we give you faster access to it? Can we say maybe if you pay the lower Netflix price, you're not going to get the early, you're not going to get a content released to you right away. It's going to be 30 to 90 days after it gets initially released.
Yeah.
So you see where I'm going with that? So it's just, you will have access to everything, but you may have to wait. On Apple, they could do it as easily as, because Apple releases an episode a week usually for their current stuff. It's not like Netflix, which dumps the whole season on you when their right. content comes out. So Apple could say, well, you're not going to have access to it until it's all released.
Right.
Or until 6 months after it's all released or something like that. But yes, you will get access to it at a lower price point. So in other words, again, we're regulating prioritization as opposed to just pure consumption.
Right, like a hardcover book and a paperback book.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's a good analog.
I think isn't Netflix starting to do that with some of its things?
I have to check. It's been a while since I've done some stuff on Netflix, but I know that they've added a ad-based.
Right, right. As has Disney, here. Right?
Yes.
Disney Plus has too. Yeah. Yeah. You know, the consumption-based pricing and top-offs and, of course, freemium's always been there and per-use credit systems. I think this will be a perennial debate. But I think in professional services, I'm not sure it makes sense to do consumption-based pricing because that just, to me, that's just repackaged hours.
I agreed.
I mean, Ed, this is flying by as it always does. And folks, we'd like to remind you, if you want to contact me or Ed, send us an email to asktsoe@verisage.com. Do check out our Patreon channel where you can get access to our bonus shows and other content that we put out. You can find that at patreon.com/TSOE. And that channel is now sponsored by 90 Minds. Get ahead, hire a mind, check them out at 90minds.com. And now, a word from our sponsors.
Follow Voice America at facebook.com/Voice America for juicy updates from your favorite radio shows and podcasts.
Have you ever read a book that changed your life? I sure have. Have you ever listened to an advertisement for a book so many times that you question the existence of God? Me too. Hello, I'm Greg Kite. I recorded the advertisement for Ron and Ed's book, The Soul of Enterprise, Dialogues on Blah, 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 Whatever. And 4 years later, we're all tired of it, especially me. But thankfully, there's a solution. For just $10 a month, you never have to hear my voice again. For a commercial-free version of The Soul of Enterprise, go to patreon.com/TSOE and subscribe now.
Sage provides accountants with compliance, reporting, and analytic solutions to do more for their clients. These solutions include education programs such as the Sage Accountants Network Client Advisory Service Program. This program delivers the tools to create, package, price, market, and deliver additional services to clients, increasing your profitability and delivering more value to your clients. Let Sage help you grow your business by visiting sageaccountantsnetwork.com.
stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned into The Soul of Enterprise with Ron Baker and Ed Kless. To find out more about our show, visit us on the web at thesoulofenterprise.com. You can also chat with us on Twitter using hashtag AskTSOE. Now, back to The Soul of Enterprise.
We are back on The Soul of Enterprise talking about our subscription economy update for March of 2024, late March of 2024. Ron, I can't believe it. It's almost, the first quarter's almost gone already.
I know. It's amazing.
Yep. Time is flying. All right. Well, the second article, by the way, the first one is entitled, Is the Subscription Economy Over? What it means for modern businesses. And then lastly, this next one that we're going to talk about now is called Follow the Dots, Why a Customer-Centric World Requires Demand-Led Strategy. And I was skeptical of the title, Ron, but we'll get there in just a second. He opens with a quote from the actress Dakota Johnson, who is the star of one of the latest action movies in, I guess it's the Marvel universe, called Madame Web. I guess it's a spider thing, I guess. I don't know. I wasn't.
I think that's
right. But she says this: my feeling has been for a long time that audiences are extremely smart, and executives have started to believe that they're not. Audiences will always be able to sniff out the bull blank. And I agree with this. And Ron, you and I take this pretty seriously with regard to our audience.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You can't. I love David Ogilvy's line, the consumer's not an idiot, she's your wife. Mm-hmm.
And we have had listeners call us on stuff where they have felt, hey, listen, that we didn't, and me especially, didn't quite weren't 100% truthful with stuff, or pulled my punches, so to speak, when we were talking about certain topics. And I appreciate that. I mean, I can disagree with it, or I could say maybe not, but I really appreciate that people would say that to me when they have that. Anyway, the lesson here, though, is that I guess this movie was a flop. But what he says is the problem, even though we're in this new normal, is that too many company strategies are still focused on the past, where they pushed supply instead of monetizing demand. And in the margin, I wrote, Ron, discuss.
Yeah. I mean, I think I see what he's saying, Ed. He's trying to say that, you know, you're selling your SKUs. Right. Mm-hmm. You're counting the number of hamburgers sold at McDonald's rather than pleasing the customer. It's one of the reasons why we think Apple should be on subscription. Right. Because it's not about the hardware SKUs. It's about the entire Apple experience. Mm-hmm. Right. Whatever and whenever I need. I think that's kind of what he's talking about. He's not talking about supply side economics, you know,
right.
Supply creates demand. Right. None of that. This is, hey, stop pushing your supply and meet the customer where they are. Mm-hmm. And I mean, my note in the margin, Ed, on this is, yeah. And if you do transformations, this is the solution to this, or, you know, it's the remedy to this. This goes back to Joe Pine. Mm-hmm. We are moving out of a goods and service economy into an experiences and transformation economy. Those mm-hmm. two things are linked. Goods and services go together, and now experiences and transformations go together. Mm-hmm. Completely different. Completely yep. different. And if he's talking about that in terms of demand, then yeah, absolutely. We've been saying for how long, it's not about the services, it's about the transformations. Mm-hmm. The services are a means to an end. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that's my retort to Teen in this.
I absolutely agree that's the thing he is missing. He's missing the notion of transformations and especially with regard to professional services. But I really think all things, aren't you transformed when you watch a really good series on Apple TV?
You can be
right.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
I hope my audiences are transformed when they come to see a show that I'm in.
Sure. I'm not sure. Yeah, it's definitely a transformation type. I think it would be called a refinement. It's like when you become, it's like when you go from a casual wine drinker to more of an aficionado,
mm-hmm.
right? Or an enophile or whatever, you know, you're kind of refining it. Same thing. If you start smoking cigars, you get, you want better and better cigars. You become an aficionado. It's that type of thing. I thought of cocktails.
Uh-huh.
Right. Suderman. Oh, my God.
Peter Suderman of Reason. Yeah.
Of Reason. Yeah. I mean, the guy is just an encyclopedia with cocktails. Mm-hmm. And that's not, I mean, that's not a new you, but it's a refinement of you.
Well, this gets to a really important conversation that I think we need to have, Ron. And we've alluded to it in a couple of different places. But how big does a transformation really need to be? Does it need to be as big as you getting married? I mean, that's we've talked about that as a transformation, having children. Yes. And those are clearly big things. But does it need to be that big?
No. It can be just from, you know, like it becoming more refined in your tastes or, mm-hmm. or whatever. It can also be just, you know, cultivating. You can change from, you know, hey, I'm going to, you know, give up meat and become a vegan. You know, mm-hmm. that's not a complete transformation, but it's definitely a cultivation of a new offering or a new sort of a new identity, if you will.
And let me give an example of this. I think that we get questions on this all the time. So what does this mean if I run a tax practice?
Right.
What does that transformation mean? Right. And it can mean big things. Your kid's about to go to college. You're about to retire, right? So there can be very big things that are part of those major transformations. But it can also be as simple as, yeah, I just usually thought of you, Mr. or Mrs. Accountant Bookkeeper, as someone who did my taxes. Now I get that you can help me with planning.
Right.
Now that I get that you can help me, give me insight into what I could do. Now I get that you're going to be plussing your offering and being out ahead of some of the things that are coming. Are the tax cuts that are set to expire in 2025, how are they going to affect me? And what can I do about it now?
Yep. And not to mention sleep at night, you know, peace of mind,
right.
All those things that we know and we've said for years, this is what customers buy, but that's not how we're messaging or marketing it. We're still right. talking about the tax return, for crying out loud. It's not about the tax return.
Right. So I thought about this, and I want to throw this word at you. I have a word to describe this process of transformations that are not these major transformations, but are still nonetheless. And I'm taking this from the sharpening of knives, honing.
Mm.
Honing, right? H-O-N-E-I-N-G, honing. What are you doing to hone, to sharpen? If you imagine the knife blade as your member,
right?
What are you doing to sharpen them?
Yep, I think that's good. I mean, this is starting to get flushed out, these different mm-hmm. types of transformations. So we'll be doing future shows on this for sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, one thing it's for certain is transformations can be small scale or large scale.
Yeah.
Right. Like you were talking about. And they don't have to be big. Some of it could just revolve around just improvements in your tax situation, in your business situation or whatever. And yeah, but that should be the language that we use. It shouldn't be about the scope of work and the services and all that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. How can we hone the customer as a person? How can we continue to make them more sharp?
Right. Right. I really like that because, you know, like you said, how are the tax law changes going to affect me? But I also just love the idea of just even blowing that all up and go, okay, yeah, look, we're going to do everything in our power
yeah.
to save you taxes. But our real goal is to have you pay more because then you'll be earning more money or mm-hmm. creating more wealth. And that should be the ultimate goal.
Right. And
you know, maybe not for everybody, but certainly
yeah,
most
yeah,
people
yeah.
would desire that.
Right. Yeah. I'm telling you, we're talking about working with a business, not an individual tax return. You're talking about, right? Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. You know, his idea, though, you know, he's basically saying he drew a demand curve, you know, a demand curve, and he put a bunch of dots under it. And he said, you've got this long tail of customers way out at the bottom of the curve mm-hmm. that you're not servicing. And that goes back to your comment. Oh, I just want to watch Ted Lasso for $5.
Right.
And that'll get me into your subscription. I may stay with it. I may just do that and leave. But at least he's saying you've got to monetize that demand because it's there. You're just not, your offerings aren't, amenable to it.
And this is where I get, okay, maybe that works for Ted Lasso because it's just a matter of turning this on. But I am really loath to think that this is a really great idea for a professional firm because now we're back to McDonald's and Morton's. Now absolutely. We're back to CAS, the A and CAS being accounting and advisory. And now we're back to you can't be a brain surgeons piercing ears again and all of the dangers that follow from that. And it's just not.
Maester's chart, right? You can't be the brain surgeon, the nurse, the pharmacist, I agree. And, you know, luckily Teen's not talking about professional services, so I can kind of bifurcate my head. Around this, but that's kind of what he's saying. And I think that, you know, with the unbundling strategy, like the New York Times, I think that's a viable strategy. Say, hey, I just want to do Wordle and get your sports news. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care about anything else, or I just want your foreign reporting. Mm-hmm. That's kind of interesting. Now they can certainly plus it by doing other things, you know, meeting with the reporters or whatever, but you know, he's trying to be customer centric here, but and say, you know, meet your customer where they are. But he also doesn't really talk about plussing either. Mm-mm.
No, he doesn't. And I do agree with him on his assessment of the problem is that, and this is a quote from the article, although many businesses claim to be customer-centric, they still operate like they in a bygone era where they create a product, package it up, sell it in a fashion most convenient for them, and expect the customers to eat it up. I thought that was a really good point. I called that phenomenon, by the way, Ron, and I probably talked about it on here, the Ray Kinsella School of Business. Ray Kinsella was the character in Field of Dreams. You know, if you build it, they will come. We have it out there. Why aren't they flocking to our offering? I don't understand. It's, you know.
And to be fair, Ed, that is a good diagnosis of what a lot of professional firms are doing. They're creating these packages, right, of services and scope of work. And here's what but they're not starting with the customer and working back to those packages. You know, what's the outcome?
Correct.
Like, you know, the overused landscaper example. But, you know, the package of services are going to be different if you're buying best curbside appeal versus, you know, get my yard up to neighborhood standards.
Yep.
Right. But you got to start with that end in mind.
Absolutely. But Ron, we are up against our next break already. Can you believe it? Flies by when it's just the two of us. I got to tell you. So we want to remind you that you can contact Ron or me by sending an email to asktsoe@verisage.com. Of course, this second break is sponsored by our friends at 90 Minds. Find a mind at 90minds.com. They are getting this because they are sponsor our Patreon channel. Check that out at patreon.com/TSOE, where you can hear the show commercial free, as well as get our bonus episodes. But right now, a word from our sponsors.
Enjoying our shows and can't get enough of us? Follow us on Instagram at Voice America Talk Radio and see what we're cooking up for you.
Sage provides accountants with compliance, reporting, and analytic solutions to do more for their clients. These solutions include education programs such as the Sage Accountants Network Client Advisory Service Program. This program delivers the tools to create, package, price, market, and deliver additional services to clients, increasing your profitability and delivering more value to your clients. Let Sage help you grow your business by visiting sageaccountantsnetwork.com.
Have you ever listened to an online radio show that changed your life? I'm required to say that I have. Have you ever stopped listening to an online radio show because the commercials were mind-numbingly repetitive? Of course you haven't, because you're here right now. Look, you don't have to listen to me anymore. There's a commercial-free version of this show, and it only costs $10 a month. And for $15 a month, you get no commercials plus bonus content. Go to patreon.com/TSOE, subscribe now, and be free. You're worth it.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned into The Soul of Enterprise with Ron Baker and Ed Klass. To find out more about our show, visit us on the web at thesoulofenterprise.com. You can also chat with us on Twitter using hashtag AskTSOE. Now, back to The Soul of Enterprise.
And we are back, and we're talking about the latest two issues, I guess it is, of Teen Zoe's subscribed newsletter. By the way, you can find that by going to zora.com/subscribed. That's the easiest way to get that, and you can subscribe to that, and it will be sent to your inbox for free. But Ron, I just wanted to finish up this second article on customer-centric world requires demand-led strategy. With I really liked the quote that he shares from Robbie Kelman Baxter, another person who has appeared on The Soul of Enterprise, and she says a subscription membership. A lot of boards and executives are now saying, "Let's get some subscriber revenue," without thinking about why that would be good for their customers. She is spot on. Bingo. Lands, sticks the landing right there, baby. Yep. We got to get me some subscriber revenue.
Yep. You'll see it in strategy. We want 10% of our revenue to be recurring. Yeah. You know, and it's like, no, you guys, this is not how this works. This is a completely different model. I've did a couple podcast interviews this week, Ed, on this very topic. And, it's resonating with people that this is different. You've got to create a new entity if you really want to do this. If you're in an existing hourly firm or value pricing firm, it really makes a lot of sense to start a new entity with an uncommon offering, because you got to up your game. This model demands it. It insists upon it.
Yep.
And I just laugh when I hear people say, "Oh yeah, we do subscription." And you know, when you give them the acid test, do your customers know they subscribe? Can they cancel at any time? And what's your ending ARR and your churn rate?
Yeah.
If they can't answer those.
Humana, as Jackie Gleason once said.
It's not a subscription model.
This kind of closes the second newsletter. I think this is a great paragraph too. We are at a critical moment. There is no time for frauds. This market is too competitive for any company posing as anything but one with a customer-centric and future-proof approach. Really love that.
I do too. And I so much of this revolves still. I mean, we used to call it total quality service back in the day, but it still comes down a lot to just the small little things of taking care of the customer and stop worrying about the math of the moment. Don't be afraid to make investments in the relationship. And yes, that probably means doing some work outside of scope or taking on a special project when they have a need. So what? Let it go. You got to look at the lifetime value. This is just a different profit formula. And some people get that and others don't. That fee for service model that we're all in, and this is what he means by the supply side, that's fee for service. We've got fees. When we do something to you, we'll charge you. Mechanics are just mired in that, and it's just frustrating.
So I have an example of this, Ron, from the book Unreasonable Hospitality. We've talked a little bit about this in a couple places, and it just keeps rolling through my mind. I don't know why, but this one example, and I think this is a great example of not looking at the math of the moment. And then I want to ask you a question then based on this. So one of the stories that is shared in the book is that they overheard, the waiter overheard the people who were talking. Oh, I should back up a second. One of their leading indicators that they look for is people who bring luggage to the restaurant,
right?
Especially in New York City, because that means it's people who are either coming to them first before they go into the hotel, or they're the last stop before going to the airport. And in this particular case, it happened to be the latter. The folks were headed to the airport, and the waiter overheard the person saying, "Hey, you know, this, we've experienced all of this great cuisine here in New York. We've had everything but a dirty water dog." Hmm. And the waiter sent out and had somebody go buy a dirty water hot dog from one of the carts outside the restaurant. They brought it in. They brought it back to the chef, who looked at them like they were freaking off their rocker. Right?
Yeah, like Caddyshack, third-rate dog food. The chef.
but he then cut the hot dog into four precise pieces. And then they you know, garnished it with a little ketchup and mustard and swirl on the plate. And the waiter brought it out to them. And this is our complimentary course for you, because we know you wanted to experience this before you left New York City. Right now. And all they could talk about the rest of the meal was the fact that they served them a dirty water hot dog. Like, OK, you are in like the best restaurant in the world. In the world. And they're talking about this experience. And I think that's a great example of not looking at the math of the moment, certainly. I mean, for this. But I want to throw this out at you. Do you potentially see a market for subscription-only high-end restaurants?
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about the French Laundry.
Uh-huh.
And that's really interesting because, you know, it takes a month or two or three sometimes to get in there. They only have so many seatings. They do one seating a night because you're going to be there for whatever. I think there's like eight tables or something. And I don't know if if people would subscribe to that. It'd be really interesting, you know. But what I love about the French Laundry is just the values and the exclusivity of it. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that it's not designed to be all things to all people, you know?
Well, maybe not the French Laundry then, but maybe they have an offering that is, you know, the German dry cleaner. And the German dry cleaner is subscription only, or maybe is partial subscription, where you could say, you know what, I want to pay on a monthly basis, and I know that I'm guaranteed one table a quarter.
Now, I could see that for certain people that have visitors coming to town, or they're mm-hmm. entertaining, or they just want to look good and be able to get their friends or business associates mm-hmm. into the French Laundry when they want to. Yeah, I could see that, because now you're paying for access.
You're paying for access. That's it. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. But you could even design a restaurant around the subscription model. And so you've got to be, the other one that we classically use is Rao's, the Italian place mm-hmm. in New York City that you forget getting in. You've got to be invited.
Right, right, right. Yeah. When I think about things, especially that Unreasonable Hospitality book, it just brought back all this TQS stuff that, you know, I was just mired in back in the 80s and 90s about just, it's the small things mm-hmm. that make the biggest impact. I mean, and that's really true. And you know who was a master at that? Was Stanley Marcus. He mm-hmm. understood that. He absolutely understood that. Mm-hmm. That if you just take care of the small things, because it's just a signal that you care, you know, and that you want to go out of your way to please and delight the customer. When you're in a supply side, like Teen says, or when you're just selling services, you're not thinking about those investments, you know, your people aren't going to go out and feed the parking meter. Isn't that another story in there?
Yes. Yes.
They go out and feed the meters it's just, we've lost that. And I think, you know, you can see this when I read some of the social media posts, because we're in tax season, mm-hmm. obviously. And the way people talk about their customers, to me,
I know,
is appalling.
It's like, repulsive to me. It actually makes me like throw up in my mouth a little. There's at least one a day on Facebook. I see at least one a day. Shame on you, accountants, for talking. If that's how you feel about that customer, get rid of them.
Yep.
You're not doing it. I'm on my soapbox about this, Ron. This really ticks me off. This really makes me upset. Don't talk about them behind their back like that. Just tell them, no, we can't serve you. We're not for you. Go to H&R Block. Don't take their money and then behind their back be posting publicly about them. That's horse hockey. That really gets me fired up.
I know. I used to have a manager who said, this business would be great if it wasn't for the clients. And it's like,
yeah, get out then.
Get out. Exactly. You wouldn't have this business if it wasn't for the customers. It's appalling. And, you know, it kind of goes back to Eleanor Roosevelt. Nobody can abuse you without your consent.
Mm-hmm.
This is your fault. You designed this way.
You took this customer on. You were the one who took this customer on. Don't blame them.
You set their expectations that they could abuse you or give you stuff at the last minute or all the different things that they bitch about. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, well, and partly too is because you have too many customers to worry about. So you're not given enough time to, you know, cultivate the relationship. Yeah, it is appalling.
Well, I want to get to two quick things here. Perhaps we can do one before and one after the break, but let's see, maybe I can get them both in because I think this is examples of what I was talking about with regard to the restaurant example. So this is a new one from the story published on March 11th, 2024. This is called the Scarlet Summer Season Pass, and it is designed by our friends at Virgin Voyages. So Richard Branson, once again. Mm-hmm. And they're targeting remote workers, and what they're saying is that they're using an acronym for WFH setup on the Scarlet Lady ship, but the WHF, which usually stands for work from home, stands for now work from helm. And they're setting up a subscription basis for this, and you would take a vacation away from your monotonous work from home setup and start taking your calls from a private balcony overlooking the Mediterranean Sea. So the passes start for $9,990 for a two-guest cabin available for 4 month-long cruises in June, July, August, and September. Barcelona, Marseille, Palma, and 4 weeks in the Mediterranean. Upgraded. So what one of the things that this includes is, ready for this? This is their privileges of membership. A faster connection to the internet. Mm-hmm. $10 daily coffee credit. Access to a private rooftop and other member only areas, as well as wash and fold laundry service that Virgin advertises as a perk that will allow you to concentrate on work. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Yep. Save the customer time.
Save the customer time. Yep. So, and the other one that's a luxury here, and I can get this in quickly. This is not as extensive, but this is an update of something that I think we had a long, long time ago. And this is called the Icon Pass, I-K-O-N, which is to buy a seasonal lift ticket at all of the major ski resorts in North America. So it's like $1,200 or $113 a month, 17 unlimited skiing riding destinations, up to 7 days at 40 different destinations. So they've got peak also all of these other add-ins that they have to the members who are on this plan. So you can subscribe to skiing, Ron.
That's cool. I'd like to know the economics behind the scenes on that. How do those guys split the revenue amongst themselves? But that's great.
And they limit based on its blackout dates. It was amazingly similar to our friends at the Audit Club, which is now, by the way, I don't know if you saw, they rebranded as the CPA Club. So
I did see that. Yeah.
More on that. But anyway, Ron, we're up against our last break. Want to remind our listeners they can contact both of us by sending one email to asktsoe@verisage.com. Website is The Soul of Enterprise. Show notes, previous shows, as well as what we've got going on. Rate this podcast. Please go out and rate this podcast at ratethispodcast.com/TSOE. If you write a review, we're happy to read it on the air, good, bad, or indifferent. But right now, a word from our sponsors, including my employer, Sage.
A little birdie told me Voice America is on X. Follow us at Voice America TRN.
Sage provides accountants with compliance, reporting, and analytic solutions to do more for their clients.
These solutions include education programs such as the Sage Accountants Network Client Advisory Service Program. This program delivers the tools to create, package, price, market, and deliver additional services to clients, increasing your profitability and delivering more value to your clients. Let Sage help you grow your business by visiting sageaccountantsnetwork.com.
Have you ever been so annoyed by a commercial for a $5 ebook that you were willing to pay $10 to never hear it again? I sure have. Hello, I'm Greg Kite. Over the last several years, you've come to hate me, and I hate me too. By now, you know that for $5, you can get a copy of Ron and Ed's book. What you might not know is, for twice that much every month for forever, you can stop hearing me plug Ron and Ed's book, which totally makes sense, like the Diamond Water Paradox. Go to patreon.com/TSOE and subscribe today. Please, for the love of God, make it stop!
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned into The Soul of Enterprise with Ron Baker and Ed Klass. To find out more about our show, visit us on the web at thesoulofenterprise.com. You can also chat with us on Twitter using hashtag AskTSOE. Now, back to The Soul of Enterprise.
And we are back on The Soul of Enterprise. One quick update, Ron. We did talk about Zora and its the stock price. And yes, they are actually at right now currently $9.12 a share, from down from a biggest peak in 2018, which is right when the book came out, of $34.63. They did take a drop during COVID and then peaked again at $19.72 in November of 2021. So coming out of $22.64 in November of 2021. So yeah, a little fall.
Little dip,
Little dip.
Interesting. Well, Ed, we're not gonna stop talking about subscription. I still think it's the future, and I still think with the stuff that Joe Pyne, the work he's doing on transformations, I really do think that's the next phase of all this.
Talk about where people can find that, Ron, who are interested.
Well, Joe Pyne has written a book called The Experience Economy. It's gone through three editions, I believe. And now he is working on a book tentatively titled The Transformation Economy. And he's got a Substack about it. And he is sharing his work in progress. He's in the writing mode right now and he's sharing. So he's putting out information on transformations and how he's developing the framework for it. Some of this, Ed, is inspired by philosophers. It's really fascinating stuff. I've subscribed to it. You'll get a copy of the book. You'll be able to give him feedback on his transformation models and his chapters that he's putting out. And so you'll get to see the book in advance, in effect. And you can subscribe to that on Substack.
Okay, cool.
So I'm really looking forward to it because he's such a great thinker. And just, he's put out, I think, about 6 or 7 posts so far. He drops every Monday and Thursday, and they're mind-bending. They're as mind-bending as reading The Experience Economy was for me back in 97 or whatever, whenever I read that, his HBR article, before even the book came out. He published the article. And my mind has never snapped back. I mean, it was one of those pivotal moments when you see that progression of economic value that he lays out.
Right.
It's like, he's nailed it. And that was 26 years ago, and it's still as relevant today as it was then.
Yep.
So, yeah. Well, the other thing to talk about, Ed, is another, one of our sponsors, Geraldine Carter, has been working on a new book, and it's called Down to 40 Hours. But she sent us an email after we did our show for number 479 on growth grief. We were talking about the perils of growth without profit, growth for the sake of growth, all of that. It's okay to be small. It's okay not to grow. It's okay not to get bigger, but just to get better, and she sent us an email on March 11th, and she said, great episode. and a perspective I think needs to be said more loudly, more often. As I listened, I found myself wondering why so many in the accounting space chase growth and scaling as if it were a sport. That's a really good point and a really interesting question.
It is a good question. Yeah.
I think we get caught up when we go to these conferences and, you see the presenters talk about how do you scale and digitize and AI and all this is going to help you scale and grow and blah, blah, blah. And you just, you kind of lose the fact that, well, first off, you're a profession, which means you profess something. We stand for something. And I'm not sure that we stand for, simply serving as many people as we can as if we were a McDonald's. No, the question is, yes, serve people, but have a dramatic impact on them. Have that maximum, that efficaciousness, that maximum desired effect on their lives that we can have. To the extent that we don't do that, we're not using our full faculties and our full mastery.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Lin-Manuel Miranda has Alexander Hamilton say in the musical Hamilton, if you stand for nothing, sir, what will you fall for?
Yeah, everything. wow. And then she comes up, she says, and here's what I came up with. And I just love this. She goes, answering her own question, why is chasing growth like a sport? Here's what I came up with. Number one, attempting to fill a perceived gap in personal self-worth. If my business is successful, I'm successful. But business success never fills a self-worth hole. Owners chase growth and success until they learn this. That's really, really true. If your business fails, you are not a failed human being.
Right.
And if your business succeeds, that doesn't make you a hero or a good person, on its own, right? This is what I love about the Sam Bankman-Fried defense. Well, I was trying to do good. Ed, that just shows that he hasn't learned anything.
Yeah.
Through this whole process.
Yep. Here's your room for the next 25 years for trying to do good.
More on that in the bonus. Number two, believing growth will solve profitability problems. However, profitability problems are often due to generalism, low prices, poor systems, and weak staff. Growing before solving these problems exasperates them rather than solves them. It's a fantastic point. How many times do we talk about capacity and all of that? Number three, small, light, and lean are counterculture. Small can't possibly be successful, so they don't try. And because they don't try, they never figure out how to be small and high profit. And number four, let's face it, even those who know what they're doing are still guessing. Most accountants have no idea what the heck they're doing when it comes to their business. So they look at their colleagues and copy what they see, which is working all the time. That's another thing. This is a whole benchmarking thing and all these surveys that everybody looks at. They're just ridiculous. Stop wasting your time with that. Follow the money. Those selling software or who price per use, user or volume are incentivized to remote grow scale message. That's a fair point. Blame hourly billing. In the hourly days, more bodies may have led to more profit. So it always goes back to hourly billing. We can always blame hourly billing. And she closes by saying, it's not that we're anti-growth. We focus on growing free time and flexibility, and revenue goes up as a byproduct because now there's time to think about value creation. Thanks for letting me think this out. Keep up the great work. Well, thanks, Geraldine. I did ask her permission to use this and read it. She gave it to us. So thank you so much for that fantastic feedback. I think your diagnosis is right on. Couldn't have said it better.
Yeah. And this just goes back to the BMW versus GM problem, right? BMW has never been the largest, nor will they ever be the largest car company in the world because they don't want They don't manufacture cars. They mentor the ultimate driving machine, and they want to be profitable before growth. And I think I said this on that episode, or maybe I said it on the bonus, but it's just worth repeating. Wayne Schultz, who is a member of the 90 Minds group, made a comment about one of the phrases that is often used to describe partner organizations in the who don't grow, who just stay small, one or two people, is that they're called a lifestyle partner or a lifestyle business. And he said, this is the closest thing our industry has to a racial slur.
Yeah. Good point. You did say that. Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with a lifestyle. I mean, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. Totally. Well, Ed, that's a subscription economy update. We're still into it, folks. We're still going to come out with more on it. I do think Joe Pine's got it right, though. We're moving from goods and services to experiences and transformations.
Yep.
And that's the framework, I think, that's better than Tienzo's total monetization theory, at least.
But
so
we remain open to what Tien has to say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I still think he's a wise man, and I continue to read him, and he makes me think. So what's on store for next week?
Next week, Ron, we're going to talk with our friend Joe Woodard about his upcoming Scaling New Heights conference and more, of course.
Wow, the sixth time, too. We're going to have to get a gold jacket. So,
I know.
All right. I'll see you in 167 hours. This has been The Soul of Enterprise, Business and the Knowledge Economy, sponsored by Sage, transforming the way people think and work, enabling their organizations to thrive. Join us next week, folks, on Friday at noon Pacific time. In the meantime, check us out at thesoulofenterprise.com. You'll find full show notes and where you can find the things that we discussed today. Also, if you want to contact me or Ed, send us an email to asktsoe@garasage.com. Thanks for listening, folks. Have a great weekend, and Ed, break a leg.